Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Radical Compliance podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, the editor of Radical Compliance. Today, we're going to talk about the state of the compliance community as seen through the eyes of Jerry Zak. Jerry is the former chief executive officer of the Healthcare Compliance Association and the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. For those of you who don't know Jerry, he arrived at SCCE and HCCA, which are professional associations for corporate compliance officers and healthcare compliance officers, respectively, and they are managed by one single organization and board. Jerry arrived there in 2017. He took over as CEO in 2019 and then immediately ran into the COVID-19 pandemic a few months later. Jerry steered both groups through that tumultuous challenge until he stepped down from both groups earlier this fall. So, Jerry, welcome.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So, I guess I'd like to address the elephant in the room first, if I may. Your departure from SCCE and HCCA in mid-October caught a lot of compliance professionals by surprise. Can you tell us a bit about your decision to leave?
Sure. And most importantly, I want everyone to know that, my departure was on very good terms with the board of directors and the staff. They've got a great person holding down the fort on an interim basis in Dan Roach, who served the board for many years and is a former president. But the departure was on very good terms. The average tenure of association CEUs used to be in that 12, 13-year range. But in recent times, it's really now about 5 to 7 years. And I've been at it for almost seven here. And I think when I first took the position, that's about the time frame I was thinking. I was hired to sort of transition and modernize the organization a bit and expand its programs as well as its global reach. And we've been successful in these regards, while also dealing with, the pandemic along the way. So my departure might look a little sudden from the outside, but, internally, really over the past 12 months, we could see that the time was coming when a change like this would feel right, a change to, make it a time to make a change, as we sort of close out one phase in the organization's growth and history and enter another one, while it may sound a little boring, the explanation for my departure is really nothing more than a recognition on both sides that after, almost 7 years, it's time for a change for both the organization and for me personally and professionally. The board of directors and I are in really complete agreement that the time's right for this change. We definitely see eye to eye on this. I've gotten us through a crisis period, set us on a good course. So the board and whomever comes in next as the new CEO, they don't need to put out any fires. They can take a thoughtful approach to establishing, a direction. I've been very proud of what we've accomplished over these 7 years. The organization is in very sound condition, both financially and programmatically. So I wish SCCE and HCCA nothing but the absolute best. I'll always have a lot of good friends there, both on the staff and on the board, and so many great volunteers that I met over the years. As for myself, I'll continue to be involved in the compliance and ethics profession. I'm not going away. Whether that's as an advisor to companies or perhaps as a member of some boards of directors, or maybe in some other new executive capacity, that remains to be seen. All I know is that, I've got a lot to contribute and a passion, that I'll bring to whatever these next roles, this next chapter, might be.
I also wanted to ask about managing the organizations during the pandemic. I'm sure global pandemic was not on your bingo card when you took the reins at the end of 2019. So what was that like when you had to guide them through such a tumultuous and unprecedented event?
Yeah, my running joke with the board for about the past years has been that, you didn't mention anything about this pandemic thing to me. It wasn't in the job description anywhere when you were recruiting me. So, it really came at just a horrible time. I just really finished the transition, was kind of just getting my legs under me as a CEO and implementing some new things when the pandemic hit. So we did several things in the early days, of the pandemic. First, and these are important. The first was we made the decision that as a tax-exempt nonprofit organization, we were going to focus first and foremost on serving the profession, regardless of the financial consequences. We have a mission to serve first, not to make a profit first. But to serve the profession. We also felt an obligation to our staff. We didn't want to, so we didn't lay anyone off, even while membership and revenues, plummeted over that couple year period. So we invested in, obviously converting many of our in-person events to virtual, but also we built an entire curriculum of new programs. Like these 2-day workshops, that drill down on specific elements of compliance programs, risk assessments, compliance training, auditing and monitoring. We launched a whole series of highly focused, new 1-day virtual conferences on things like, the nonprofit sector, ESG, defense and government contracting. It's a whole series of things. Of these new programs. So these are programs that will serve the profession for many years to come. We also invested pretty heavily in the future during this time period. We adopted a lot of new technologies, like our new association management software system, a new learning management system, a whole new customer service or member service software platform. So there was a lot of investing, going into the future of the organization, and while we're at it, the pandemic really also probably exposed a few areas that we were aware of before the pandemic that needed to have some adjustments made in our strategy. So we made those along the way as well, some of these things that we identified before the pandemic, I think the pandemic just really exacerbated some of them. So, it was a w wild, fast, and furious time period there in those early days. But we made a lot of adjustments, in a short period of time there.
So I can remember I went to the SCCE annual conference in 2021. For 2020 was moved to virtual. And then the 2021 one was kind of like a coming out, although still a little weird. People were wearing a lot of masks and things like that. By 2023, that annual conference was in Chicago. Everything was back to normal. I always thought that was one of my favorites. But I'm just wondering, from your perspective, at what point did you feel, okay, the organization is back on solid footing now. We know which end is up. Was it within a couple of months, a couple of years, or how did you think through that sort of return to normalcy?
Yeah, it took a while. And, I think we're still kind of figuring out what normalcy really is. But that period, it's taken a while. Keep in mind that the pandemic, it had an effect on the profession, not just during the pandemic, but the profession has taken a hit that continues to this day. Many companies' compliance and ethics programs, are m more seriously underfunded now than ever before. The investment in compliance has gone down. We hear about the big companies who get in trouble that invest in compliance, but that's the 2% of the companies out there. The other 98%, have for the most part really been, keeping a tight rein on things. So fewer companies are paying for professional dues for their employees. Fewer companies are budgeting for travel. We can see that there are fewer of our members having their employer pay for their dues. More of them are paying it out of their own pocket. So it's tight. Some people, can't even go to in-person training. They're required to go to virtual now for budget, purposes. Yet, we remain committed to mission first, serving the profession. The for-profit entities out there that are competitors of sorts, that they offer programs that would guarantee that they made profits. We continue to offer a wide array of educational and other resources, some of which lose money, but all of them in that mission of serving the profession first. We knew that returning to profitability was actually going to be a multi-year process. We knew that pretty early on. The initial hopes of, oh, this will just be kind of a 1-year thing, those went out the window pretty quickly. But fortunately, this organization had built reserves necessary to weather this. So while the for-profit compliance service providers take their profits and pay dividends and things of that nature, we kept the funds in reserve to be able to weather stretches like the one that we're just now coming out of. We knew that our costs would exceed our revenues for several years in a row. Due to these investments that I mentioned and the times we were going through. Keep in mind, there's one other thing that complicates things for us. Our biggest annual conferences, the Compliance Institute in the spring and the Compliance and Ethics Institute in the fall, they're of a size that we have to book these venues quite a few years in advance. So every one of our post-pandemic conferences were negotiated based upon pre-pandemic levels of space, sleeping room commitments, food and beverage commitments, all based upon those. But now we have about a third of our audience that can't come in person, that need to do the virtual. So we have those added costs coupled with the fact that since we want to serve those people who have to go virtual, we now need to broadcast those things out. So you're even adding further to the cost aspect of running these conferences in order to serve both audiences. So 2022 and 2023 actually ended up being the toughest years financially, not the pandemic year itself. It's that lagging effect of, the decline in membership and gradually increasing now, but that had sort of this lagging effect along then with these commitments to these big conferences that really made it, very, very difficult. So 2022 and 23 were the toughest years financially. We knew we were going to and we budgeted for loss, and we met our budget. mission accomplished there.
All right.
But I'm happy to say, the plan to gradually return to profitability is working. Things have turned. 2024 is looking much better than 2022 and 23. There's still more work to be done. The profession continues to work its way through a lot of change. But we've got the tide turned firmly back in the right direction.
Let me broaden the lens here a little bit to the profession generally. What do you think are the significant challenges for compliance professionals today?
Yeah, good question. There's a lot of them. I already mentioned the budgetary issue, and a lot of professionals really being hamstrung, with their budget. But it would be easy to focus on other risk areas as challenges, things like artificial intelligence and technology in general and data analytics and the need for these sorts of competencies that many compliance units just don't have. Also, there's an expanding scope of work for compliance. ESG wasn't on the compliance radar up until, just a few years ago. And now, so compliance is playing roles in areas that it didn't previously play. So there's all these things, and they're all important, but to me, there's still one big challenge out there that I think is the most significant, and that is, the compliance profession needs to still prove its strategic value to management and boards. That I think is the biggest challenge, is proving that it has strategic value to management and the boards of directors. Push it forward from being a reactionary function, to one that is viewed as an essential element of strategic planning. We're not the only profession to ever face this challenge, but it's just that we haven't been at it, for very long. Other professions have done this, internal audit and some others, but we're still a very young profession in that regard. So, we're making progress in it, but that link to strategy setting has not yet been fully made. It needs to be driven by more than just enforcement and big cases that get the headlines, about wrongdoing. It needs to be done voluntarily in response to a recognition of the value that compliance brings to the planning table. Compliance professionals really need to focus on the strategic value as their mentality as they go about their work. I had a conversation with a chief compliance officer. It was about a year or so ago. It may have even been at last year's CEI. I can't remember for sure. But this person had a very wise words. They basically said that everything I put into our work plan as a compliance department, I link back to the company's strategic plan and objectives. As my team and I discuss this, to identify how each and every aspect of our work plan makes a positive contribution, to these strategic priorities. And to me, that's the mentality that compliance professionals need to take as they go about their work.
People who know me know that I am a fan of SCCE and HECA and the professional associations and networking generally. But do you think it's getting harder for people to maintain that part of their careers? I mean, you've already mentioned budget constraints and lack of support for professional networking and whatnot. And I worry about that sometimes, that people are either disconnecting from it, or it's harder for them to remain connected to the greater ethics and compliance community. But I mean, what do you see about that issue?
Well, I do. I see exactly what you see in that regard of, between budgetary constraints, this group, whatever component of the profession that is sort of locked in either by budget or by preference, locked into virtual types of things where networking just doesn't, it just doesn't have the same value, in a virtual environment. And but the other thing that I think is making it harder in this regard is that there are actually more avenues for networking than ever before too. There's tons and tons of small local groups that are doing a good job on it, but that kind of it has the effect of sort of diluting the overall, need for networking. So these local groups are doing a, like I said, a phenomenal job in many respects of having little compliance get-togethers just for their local community. But then that pulls away from some of the other bigger networking that could be done. So I think people actually have more choices for their networking now than ever before. Membership in us in many associations has stalled. Like I said, we declined by a few thousand members and then now have recovered, most of that, not all of it yet, but back on the increase. As people, look at their professional memberships, budgets become a big concern. And in addition, one of the things that's unique, I shouldn't say unique, but it's one of the things that's a challenge for our profession, unlike many other professions, that we have a lot of people who came from other professions. So we're sort of still, even though they're in compliance, they are first and foremost a lawyer, they're first and foremost an auditor. The first and foremost, a risk professional, where they've got these other groups that they participate in addition to then the compliance piece. So they're faced with tough decisions. And in some cases, when employers are cutting back on membership dues or individuals are having to cut back on where they spend their money, some of these people revert back to their core competency. They say, I'm a lawyer first, so I'm going to be a member of this bar association and I'll drop my SCCE membership. Yet I'll still keep looking. So I think part of the future of a lot of associations is non-member revenue. It's not just, and not everybody's going to be a member. The percentage of non-members who participate in programs might actually need to be a little higher because of that.
Any other thoughts for compliance officers these days before we close?
Well, a couple of things I mentioned maybe sound like a little bit of gloom and doom, but so my first and foremost thing is to stay positive. Progress is never accomplished in a straight line. The profession and the association has made a tremendous amount of progress, but there'll be peaks and valleys along the way. Stay networked, kind of following up on your last question, find the right ways to stay networked. There's a compliance and ethics community is really, really a great community. It's a powerful one. People, I've been involved in several other professions communities, and none of them have been as collaborative, as helpful, as the compliance and ethics community. So, that's another thing. Keep that going one way, or another. And remember who's been there, for you through thick and thin. That's SCCE and HCCA.
Well, all right then, Jerry. On that note, we will bid farewell, but you covered a lot of ground for us. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you, Matt. Thanks for having me here today. It's always a pleasure chatting with you. You reached out early on when I first joined, so it's a pleasure chatting with you. I hope we'll do this again. And I look forward to seeing everyone in my next chapter.
All right. Well, again, everybody, that was Jerry Zak, former CEO of the Healthcare Compliance Association and the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. He joined us today to talk about his perspectives on the state of the profession after 7 years running those associations. That is all for this podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Radical Compliance. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time.